I think we're back with another segment, and there's nothing like, just a slight change in plans. I mean, you know, we're still talking about the Society of Aviation Flight Educators this segment, but you don't look like David St. George, Michael.
No, far better looking.
Far better looking. That's why we have the webcam on you, so that and you can tell us all. But anyway, so we expected David St. George, and this nice young man showed up in his place. I bet he's going to be more fun than David would have been anyway.
Michael, tell us about yourself.
Well, I've been a flight instructor since 1975. Started flying in 1967. Have the privilege of being Wright Brothers Master Pilot. I have over 13,000 hours of dual given, which I'm really very proud of.
Wow.
And I teach everything from tailwheel all the way up to single-engine turboprops.
And a word about the Society of Aviation Flight Educators.
The Society of Aviation Flight Educators is an organization that had its beginnings in 2008. And there were a group of us that thought that there was maybe a better way to acknowledge the aviation educators, the aviation professionals that were out there that were committed to teaching and committed to making safer pilots. And there were, that was its genesis. And in 2009, we organized as a Society of Aviation Flight Educators. And there was a group of us who started it then, and we've had the opportunity to grow from a group of people with a vision that everybody in the organization should have a say in how we go and how we teach, and to this particular point in time now, and we are well over 3,000 members.
I was just going to ask you about that number, because I've been a SAFE member for, well, not since 2008, but maybe for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I've watched the society grow. And so there's obviously a competing society. We're having them on this week too. But what do you think is the difference between SAFE and the competing flight instructor groups?
Well, maybe we're the Democratic Party. We have a much bigger tent. I mean, we are the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, so that takes into account everyone, whether they're a classroom teacher, whether they're a professor at a college, if they're teaching in the cockpit, if they're only teaching in the classroom, whether you're an aerobatics instructor, whether you're a helicopter instructor, master aviation educator, you're not really in the cockpit at all, master ground instructor, where at this particular point, maybe that's, for whatever reasons, that's where all your time and energy is. And it recognizes for each and every one of these people who is a member of SAFE, they are really committed to trying to do the best job possible in terms of safety and education of pilots.
The relationship between an educator and a flight student in particular sometimes can be a very solitary relationship. It's hard to see, observe, judge. So how do you go about determining what kinds of things are happening in that relationship that are worthy of recognition?
Between the instructor and the pilot learning?
Yeah, right.
It's as different as the people on this planet. Mm. You know, everybody comes into the cockpit with very different approaches to their life, very different life experiences, very different reasons for learning to fly. And so all of those things enter in. So much of it just depends, you know, the two best words in aviation, it depends. So what you're doing as an educator, the one thing you're doing is measuring the individual and their response and their reactions, and then you must teach them the way they learn, not the way you want to teach them. That is the thing that a professional really needs to recognize, and we talk about that a lot with all of our members and anybody that wants to listen.
So you promote, and then you look for evidence that kind of adaptation is happening between a teacher and their students.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
something we hear a lot about in various fields is that somebody did something that was absolutely unprofessional. And we talk about that pilot is extremely professional.
Mm-hmm.
What does professional mean to the people at SAFE? I mean, what makes a professional instructor as opposed to just a plain old instructor?
Can I use a negative?
Sure.
There was a particular situation that I was aware of recently that a person was learning to be a private pilot. Went all the way through the process, got all the way up, took the written, was ready to take a check ride, and never had a student pilot's license, and was flying out of a flight school. Now, that is an example, an extreme example of what would be unprofessional. How that ever happened is absolutely so. All of the time that she logged as solo was not, doesn't count. She did get the training above on, but during that entire time, it wasn't safe. Now, what you take and you turn that around, and it's somebody that is completely aware of all of the steps along the process, regardless of whether you're, it's somebody that's just coming to be introduced to the airplane. You give them an experience that is comfortable and gives them a chance to understand what this process is. If you're on your way and you're going to get a private license or a commercial or an instrument, all of those things will vary, but everything is more a matter of focused on clearly our responsibility if we're educating them from the ground up, or is the ACS or the PTS, depending on what where you are in the process as the ACSs continue to roll out.
Spell those acronyms for people who don't know them.
ACS is the aviation standards, if you will, for
practical test standards.
It used to be practical test standards, and now it's the ACS.
Airworthiness certification standards.
Thank you.
Yeah, Michael Phillips is a board member with the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators.
Well, I think that, you know, going back to that that professional side, we wonder at times that there's not really a great guideline for students that say, I want to learn to fly. Mm-hmm. Oh, go over there. They have a flight school, and mm-hmm. but people don't really know what questions to ask.
Yeah.
They don't know sometimes when they're. I've had a few experiences where I've heard some stories about people that I thought were just absolutely frightening, and I said, "Well, can you give me a few details?" I mean, I felt like I'd like to call the instructor myself and say, "Please, I'm just trying to help, but could you explain?" And they go, "No, I don't want to get my instructor in trouble," and mm-hmm. and so they stay there. And how does a person learning to fly learn to deal with, it's not about your instructor, you're paying for a service, you should come to expect as good a service as when the man comes to repair your washing machine or the lady comes to repair the cable TV, and but people get funny about that relationship that Mike was just talking about, that it's so close, it's complicated.
Well, it is complicated, and to go back, the person that had that negative thing happen to them did not want to go ahead and carry it out, because I would have dealt with it in a very different way from a professional standpoint. But to answer your question, I teach CFIs how to teach. Don't teach them what pitch controls, airspeed, and all that. I teach them how to teach and how to interact. And so in those particular cases, from the very beginning, we have to make it clear to the learner, the student, the person that's coming to you for guidance and advice, is that they are the one that's in charge. They have the opportunity to call me on my BS, to call me on something that I'm not communicating well, I'm not doing this right, please give me some feedback. I let them know that that's important. I teach that to all of the instructors that I have the privilege of working with on a regular basis. And I think that from a professional standpoint, and we do that at SAFE in terms of our communication with all of our members and for those people that want to even listen, it's not about us, it's about the person that's walking through that door. And if it's not that, then we have absolutely failed. And anybody that's offering these services and doesn't do it that way they're not doing their job.
I think, is the CFI the key to pilot safety? Yes or no?
Well, law of primacy, huh? And so you start in the beginning. If we feed them good food and we train them well, we have a pretty good opportunity of making a good pilot. In the end, though, ultimately, you know, free choice, and the individual will decide. But we are absolutely have to be the example, and we do. It's really funny about people when they talk about their flight instructor, the impact. So if we don't feed them well, we have a chance of not having a good outcome.
Michael Phillips is a member of the Board of Directors of the Society for Aviation and Flight Educators. Michael, thanks for giving us some time and some thoughts about how to be truly professional in learning and teaching others about aviation. And you're listening to EAA Radio.